Hey, welcome back to the podcast, faithful listeners. I'm here with Bryn Bukes of Renegade Studios. Renegade Studios is a feature film studio established in 2017. It is also into documentaries and also specializes in photography. Welcome, Bryn, to the studio.
Yeah, good to be here.
So, exciting days, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of projects coming up. One really big project, which is the Batavia one. So that's the one that I'm focusing more on at the moment, right now, rather than just the photography or any of the documentary stuff that's kind of taken backseat. Because this one we want to get done as soon as possible.
Yeah, for sure. Now, look, I had a sort of a long intro planned, but I guess I could not do it justice the way that you could. Could you give us a bit of background into sort of Renegade Studios and how it came about?
Well, it began because, I mean, I started with acting because that's what I wanted to do. But then I realized that just wasn't enough. You know, I wanted to make the movies as well because no one was really making the movies I wanted to make. So I figured I would make the movies, act in the movies, and then it just kind of expanded. I did some traveling and was taking photos while traveling, and people liked the photos, so I thought I'd go further with that, and so that got added into the studio, into the business, and I'm also like learning new things and discovering new things, so that's where a lot of the documentary side also comes into it, and the exploration kind of side and discovering different cultures and learning about them and documenting them for other people.
Very nice. Now, what's your background as far as like training in film production?
So I started, like, when I decided, I was like, all right, I kind of like this stuff. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and it kind of just clicked one day where I was like, I want to do acting. And I decided to join the local theater company, Theater 8. And sorry, I'm just going to take a glass.
That's all right. Very crazy.
Yeah, and that's where I first got my real introduction to acting, because at school we didn't really have a drama class or anything because not enough people wanted to join. So that's where I learned a lot about acting, and but it was more stage acting. And that was my final year of school, and then the year after I moved to Perth for uni, and I was going to go further with it. I studied screen production and theater and drama at Murdoch, and that's where I learned a lot about the film side of acting, and it's very different from theater, but there are some things that overlap, and that's where I got a lot of my training, was at uni and just meeting people in Perth who had similar ideas and things like that, and we just got together and we kind of just learned off each other rather than any formal training.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Now, with the you just released in March a concept trailer to a film that you're working on called Batavia.
Yeah.
What made you want to do a film on this subject?
Well, I remember when I was young, when I first moved to Geraldton, and there's a statue of, I should probably know how to pronounce this right because I've been doing it for a while, but Weeby Hayes, that's how I say it, who was kind of the hero of the Batavia. He's the one who gathered the soldiers together and led them against the mutineers and saved everyone on the island after the Batavia ship wrecked there on the Abrolhos Islands. And just reading that little plaque that was on the statue, I just thought that would make a great film. I mean, it's got everything. It's got heroes, villains, and it's got that nice rise and up to the battle, and then the resolution. I mean, everything that you need in a story. But no one was making the story. I mean, there's been plenty of books about it, and even an opera, and some, I think there's a radio play, but not a feature film, and that's what I wanted. I wanted a feature film. And so I started, you know, figuring out how I was going to tell the story. Of course, sticking to the facts, But you know, adding that film kind of elements to it, and you know, getting characters to interact and the relationships between the characters that we don't know about. And so once I kind of figured out the plan, I was going to start working on it at uni, at university, but you know, things got in the way and work and all that, so took a bit of a break from it all. And then last year I got back to it, and I just went into it and decided I was going to start writing the script. And in the beginning it went through quite a lot of redrafts and things before I finally figured out like the exact story that I wanted to tell. And then it was all about just writing that script and getting that done. And once we had the first draft done, that's when we decided, well, what I want to do is also put together a little trailer, just a concept trailer, because once the script is finally done, which it about is, it's about 2 weeks away from actually being done, we can then use the script along with the concept trailer to pitch to investors so that we can get the money to actually make the film.
Okay.
Because films are expensive.
Yeah, that's right. So the concept trailer, what was the reaction to that? I watched it several times now, and has a powerful, for me anyway, it had a powerful sort of impact. Like you could see there's a story brooding underneath all of that. So
yeah, well, that's what we wanted to get. I mean, it was just me and some of my acting friends from Perth, you know, that I met during uni and all that, like I mentioned before. And we decided, because we worked on some projects before that, and we decided we wanted to make this concept trailer to kind of get a feeling for what we wanted out of the film. And of course, we couldn't push it as much as we wanted to because we had very little money, so we couldn't buy as many costumes or get together as many friends, because of course you need to feed everyone. That's for right. The day, so we don't have the food to feed 100 people. So we got about, I think it was six friends together. And then sometimes I'd be in front of the camera to do my bits, and one of the other friends would be just pressing the play button on the camera. And yeah, we wanted to have this concept trailer to get a sense of how dark what happened on the island was, because, you know, there was a lot of, it seems like, you know, a pirate adventure sort of thing, but it's not. You know, people, you know, were being murdered, children were being murdered, women were being raped, and it was very, very brutal. I mean, I think it's listed as, I'm pretty sure, don't quote me, but I think it's the worst maritime massacre that we know of, because something like over 110 people were murdered on the island before it all came to an end. So we definitely want to tell that part of the story, and so we can show respect to the victims of the whole disaster. So we definitely don't want to make the film like an action adventure film, but we don't want to make it too dark and brutal that people are going to be turned off from it. You know, want it to still bring people in, and so they can enjoy the film.
Yeah, for sure. So where are you at currently? Like you said that you've done the concept.
Mm.
Do you have any finances pouring in, or?
So we've saved up a bit more money. Working for my dad, I've saved up whatever I can. And some of the friends that helped me with the concept trailer, they're also very keen to continue once the feature film's going. So they're all helping out. But right now it's still very much in the early stages. Like I mentioned, the script is just about finished. It's about two weeks away to being completely done. And then along with the concept trailer and the script, we'll, go to institutions like, Screen West and Lottery West, who give grants to, films being made in Western Australia, and pitch the idea to them, explain to them why this is a film that needs to be told, and why this story is important to Western Australia, and hope they give us the money. If not, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, well, you think they would. It is a part of our history. So you think they would sort of...
I mean, it's one of the first... it is the first European story to take place in an Australian area. I mean, it's very much a Dutch story, but it has a strong connection to Western Australia. I mean, two of the mutineers, once everything died down, they were shipwrecked. Marooned on mainland Australia to live out their days. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that they mingled in with the Aboriginal communities of that time. So, which makes them, you know, the first two European residents of Australia, you know, long before James Cook or any of those guys came over on the east.
Very interesting.
So it's got a very strong connection to Australia, and that, you know, all took place just a few kilometers off the coast here. And those two guys were marooned over near Kalbarri sort of area. So it all took place in this area, and it's, you know, and we have a lot of connection to it as well. I mean, so many businesses in Geraldton and the surrounding area have Batavia in their name, or Batavia Coast, something like that. So the name's everywhere, but, you know, the story isn't being told, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So what other stories would you like to tell?
Oh, there's a lot of, I'm very much into history. I love history. So there's a lot of historical stories I want to tell. Right now, I'm focusing completely just on Batavia, but what I want to do with Batavia, hoping that the first film is successful, because the first film's going to focus completely on just what happened on the islands, but I want to also tell the two other parts of the story, which is the captain and about 40, I think it's 50 actually, 50 other crew members. They took the longboat, when there's a replica of the longboat at the Geraldton Museum. They took that longboat and sailed it to Indonesia, and got a rescue ship there and brought it back to the islands. And just that journey itself is quite amazing, because they didn't really have any way to navigate. It was uncharted waters, but somehow they made it to Indonesia and back, and were able to rescue everyone on the island. And not just that, but the captain had mutineers as well, people who were part of the mutiny before the shipwreck, with him on that longboat, and it's a tiny little longboat. So there's definitely tension there between them, and we have a lot of what happened because the captain had a journal, which he wrote, so you know what happened from his perspective and everything that went down. So that's definitely a part of the story I want to tell as well. And then I want to tell the story of those two mutineers who were marooned on mainland Australia and what became of them. And that's why there's a large focus on them in this first film, because I want to continue their story in a later film.
That's very cool. Mm. That's very, very cool, actually. Different from what sort of you see today with films, really, the storytelling, especially, you know, having something to do with Australia. You know, I really like those historical films.
Yeah.
That way. Wasn't Russell Crowe supposed to do a movie about Batavia?
There was news about that. I love it when people bring it up, because, like I mentioned, this was a film I wanted to do since I was about 12. And when I was working on it, those first initial stages when I was at university, and I'm kind of glad I took a break from it, because, yeah, I was working on it, and then the news came out that Russell Crowe bought the rights to one of the books, I think, and Island of Angry Ghosts, I think, is the one he bought the rights to, and that he was going to, you know, make the film off that, based off that book. And when I heard that news, it was very disheartening, because, I mean, how could I compete with Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
So I took a break from it, and that's when I decided to do the traveling and all that, kind of take a break from all the acting and the filmmaking, because I wasn't getting anything out of it. But then once I came back, I decided, Russell Crowe hasn't done anything with the film yet, there's no news about the film, so I'm just going to go back and I'm going to make this film again because it's a film I want to make. So I still haven't heard any news about if Russell Crowe's making his. I mean, I check it every now and then to see if there's been any news breaks.
Well, he was recently having his divorce auction, so I don't think he has any money to make a film.
I don't know. We'll see. Well, like my dad told me, it's sort of like an eagle and a mouse sort of thing. I mean, he's the eagle, I'm the mouse. He's going to see me. So if I just, rustle the branches a bit, the leaves, he might see what I'm doing and might come to me and we could maybe figure something out, make a film together. If not, I'm still going to make my film. I'm too far into it now. The script, like I said, is done. I'm not going to put that on the bookshelf now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you just never know where these opportunities will take you. You keep plugging along, keep doing what you're doing. You never know what will happen. And look, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
where,
definitely.
Where you look like you're not getting anywhere, but the next day, literally.
Yeah.
Your dreams come true.
Yeah.
Basically.
I'm not gonna hold out on hope for things to just work out for me. I'm gonna try my best to do it myself. But if life decides to throw me a bone, I'm gonna grab it.
absolutely. Yeah. So now you do documentaries as well, or you want to do that? Sort of same thing, historical type of stuff.
Sort of. I mean, again, one of my favorite films is Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
So I love that sort of.
Chris Pratt's going to be the new Indiana Jones, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. He's a good actor.
He is.
I thought there was another one I thought was going to do it.
Who's this?
It was someone who looks like Harrison Ford.
Could be just rumors going around.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt spreading.
But if Chris Pratt is it, I mean,
he would be a good one, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
So it has that comedic sort of.
Yeah, exactly. He's got that timing, very Harrison Ford like. I like that sort of Indiana Jones stuff. So, like I said, history and kind of pseudo history sometimes as well. So some of the documentaries that I started working on, I'm still working on, while I'm traveling, is looking into things like lost artifacts or cities, things like that.
Okay.
Just stuff that there's rumors about or some very strong evidence about that I wouldn't mind looking into. There's one, I think they actually made a film about it a couple years back, called The Lost City of Z. Which is a city that's I think it's a Mayan city in somewhere on the border between Bolivia and Brazil, where back in the exploration age, in your early 1800s up to the 1900s, people were looking for this city and no one could find it. And then the last person who looked for it went missing while he was looking for it. And that was the last time anyone bothered with it. But that's the kind of stuff I'm interested in, is kind of finding that sort of lost things, looking for the history that we don't know about and kind of documenting it along the way with my camera.
Very cool. That's awesome. I like that kind of stuff as well.
Mm.
I go too far, I think, because I also like the paranormal side of things as well. There's something a little bit out there, besides just what's here.
Exactly.
You never know, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, and that's what I'm trying to kind of know, rather than just leave it a mystery, maybe try and uncover a few more things.
For sure. I saw your photography as well. Very good stuff.
Thank you.
And you sell that around town, do you?
So like I said, I never planned on doing any photography. I was just taking photos while I was traveling. And I figured if I'm going to take a photo, I might as well put some effort into it.
Yeah, that's right.
But my favorite part of taking photos was the editing.
Yeah.
And that, I think, really sets apart a photo that you just take while traveling to a photo that you could sell is, bringing out the right colors or maybe cropping it in the right places to make it a better photo. So I just took some photos. And like I said, friends of mine said, "Oh, these are good photos. If you had them for sale, I'd buy one."
Mm.
And I said, well, then, all right. I want money. So, yeah, I'll put them up for sale.
Yeah, so I saw that you've gone, you've been to Jordan.
Yeah.
I saw the sort of Petra.
Yeah, yeah. And,
absolutely stunning.
Oh, it is. It's amazing. Petra's one of my absolute favorite places. I'm going to go back as soon as I can because the whole Middle East is just, it's just phenomenal. I mean, Egypt, I mean, I was in Egypt for a little over a week. Because I was in Egypt, Israel, and Jordan for just over a month, so I had to kind of split it. And Egypt, I mean, there's just too much there. You can't do it in a week. That's why I need to go back. But Jordan is just amazing, especially Petra. I mean, most people, when they go to Petra, they walk down the canyon, which is about a kilometer long, and then they see the treasury, which is the big temple everyone knows about, and then they just go back. But there's an entire city carved into the rocks. It's huge. I mean, I spent 2 days there walking around.
And you can walk into these
places. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They don't let you go into the treasury because I think too many people went there and caused damage.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of tombs in, like, way off. You have to walk about 10, 15 kilometers to get to them. Where no one goes, only the locals kind of hang around there. But I met some friends who were also traveling, and we found a local who decided to go with us. You know, he said he could show us some tombs that they hadn't excavated yet, because they're still busy. I mean, there's hundreds in the valley, so they hadn't gone there yet. But the locals hang around there, and he said if we go inside the tomb, there's this kind of black sand inside. And he said, if you sift around the sand for a little while, you might find something. You might find a coin or whatever.
Okay, wow.
Because the Nabataeans, who were the ones who built the tombs, they had coins, and Romans occupied the area at one point, so there's coins there. And yeah, they said, if you sift around, you might find something. And we thought he was just pulling our leg. But sure enough, after about 2 hours of sifting around the sand, found a Roman coin.
Wow, awesome.
You know, it was no bigger than a little pebble.
Yeah.
But yeah, decided to keep that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they say you have to hand in anything you find, but finders well, keepers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. The Romans would have chopped your hands off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Back in the day. So getting back to sort of Renegade Studios, it's a great venture, man, and congratulations, and you know, keep up the good work. I mean, yeah. Obviously, you've got an eye for it. Like I said, I really liked the, there was a lot of effort to seem to go into the trailer, the concept.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You could tell, so.
Oh, no, well, that's the thing. I mean, we shot a lot of it on the day, but it was an awful day. There was just so much wind. And
so if you don't mind me asking, where did you shoot it?
So we shot most of that stuff down in Perth, in the Mandurah area, because that's where all my acting friends are.
Yeah.
But then the rest of it, there's a lot of shots there. I think like the stuff of the waves crashing against the rocks, and a lot of the stuff of me in the trailer, and a lot of that we shot just me and my dad. Some of it down near Flat Rocks, because Flat Rocks looks very much like some of the islands. And then other stuff we shot, where was it now? I think it was just there on the foreshore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just shot it, but, you know.
Yeah, just pick a beach.
Yeah, just basically. I mean, the whole, that's what I also love about the Batavia story, is it all takes place on an island. And it's a very flat island, basically just sand and water and a bit of bush. So, you know, it's very, you could pick any beach and that could be your set. You don't have to build a set. It doesn't have to be an expensive set.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, you could get away with making this film on cheap.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And sort of, I don't know what kind of camera that you used or whatever, what kind of editing tools you have, but whatever you have is really good, because it looked fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's my one friend, some of the stuff we shot on his camera, and he's got a big camera, I think it was Blackmagic.
Yeah.
Which a lot of, like, it's that middle level between amateur and professional. Yeah. but we didn't get a lot of great shots with that. We got some good stuff, like close-up stuff with that one, but not a lot of the dynamic stuff because, of course, my friend didn't want to get his camera wet.
Yeah.
And completely understandable. Yeah. It's a very expensive camera. Yeah. But we did get some great shots with that one, especially some of this slow motion stuff. But the rest of the stuff we just shot on my Canon 7D, which that one's been knocked to hell and back because of the traveling. So I didn't care if it got wet or, and there's quite a few times it was very frustrating, filming the shots because at one point we were at Flat Rocks and, we were getting ready to shoot, during sunset because we wanted that golden sort of, light. And, as we were trying to set up, the camera wasn't working and we figured it was something wrong with the lens connecting to the camera. And so we took it apart to see what was going to happen. And just as we took it apart, the lens fell into a rock pool, right below where we had it. And, whole lens got fried. So we had to put the trailer on hold for about a month, or I think it was about 6 weeks actually, until I could save up money to buy a new lens.
Yeah.
And then we could shoot it again. No. But yeah, it's been very frustrating getting that trailer together, but finally got it together. And
be good to have an alternative camera that you could shoot that kind of stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Type stuff you can look back on.
Yeah. Well, that's what we did for some of it. We got some of the behind the scenes stuff. And I've got the photos there and they're very, looking back, it's funny, but, but at the moment, it was not funny
for sure.
But no, I'm very proud of the trailer. Of course there's things I would have liked to do differently, as there always is.
Yeah.
But you work with what you got. Like I said, you know, we had very little money and only about six friends, and I'm proud of what we got to, you know, what we were able to put together with just that.
Absolutely. It's all about keep building, you keep going, you know,
exactly.
And, you're right. Absolutely. You work with what you have and the hard work pays off one day, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea. And hopefully, we'll get there sooner than later because, I want to tell this film, as soon as possible. Because like I said, this is a film that's, very close to me, because I've been thinking about it and working on it since I was 12. And I also would like to act in it as well. Like I mentioned, you know, write the films, make the films and act in the films. And I would want to play one of the soldiers who was on the island. And a lot of them were young, actually my age, you know, about 20 to 25.
Yeah.
So I'd want to make this film before I'm, you know, older than 25, so I could still kind of play in the film. So I've got about 4 years to make this film. So
the ideal date would be 2022.
Yeah, well, that's actually the plan. You know, the first year, which is 2017 to 2018, was write the script, make that concept trailer, and we're pretty much done with that.
Yeah.
And now the second stage is getting funding, money.
Yeah.
And once we've got the money we need, which, like, we've kind of did some rough calculations, and at the absolute bare minimum, $50,000. Is what we need, but I think even that's cutting it, you know. 100,000 would be nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to work hard to get that kind of money.
Yeah.
And so that's the next stage, is getting that money together, so we can make the film. And then, after that, it's all about getting a crew together, getting actors together, and then just shooting the film, which would take probably about 5-6 months.
Okay.
And then the editing, which would take probably about 4 months.
Yeah.
And so, you know, about after a year, we could then release the film. So the film's looking at about 2020, 2021.
And how does that work? Do you sell it to a studio, or do you...
So that's another thing. You could do it independently. So you could sell it to a studio, and then the studio will distribute the film.
Yeah.
Another way is Screen West, Screen Australia. They give you funding, so you can get a cinema release.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah. And Yeah, so you can get that cinema release. And other ways is to, you make the film and then you enter it into festivals. Okay. So you get these independent film festivals, and depending on how well your film is received, the festival will give you money for cinema releases. Yeah. And distribution, so you can...
And so do you care how?
I don't really care how. I just want this film to be seen. That's yeah. all.
That's right, because you can release it through, like, what's the ones, the big festivals? Tribeca is one.
Yeah, Cannes is another one. I think that's the one in France.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a really big one. But there's local festivals as well. There's Australian film festivals. And Perth is even, you know, coming up with new film festivals every year. So there's definitely a lot of choice for releasing it, but I'm not too focused on that at the moment. It's more about make the film and then worry about Absolutely. That. But no, definitely. I mean, I'd love a cinema release, even if it's just our local cinema here in Geraldton.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know, that'd be fine with me. But yeah, like I said, anyway, you know, even if I just take the film and upload it to YouTube.
Yeah.
As long as people see the film at the end of the day, that's what matters. And, you know, if I can make a bit of money out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll be great.
On to your next film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, because a lot of effort's put into this. And like I said, you know, a lot of money. So, you know, getting a bit of money back would be great. But if not, you know, it's all about the art.
Yeah.
So as long as people can appreciate the art, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate that.
No, of course. It's been great.
It's a fantastic venture, like I said. I'm excited about what it holds for the future. You know, I'll be keeping up to date on your Facebook and Instagram and stuff. And
yeah, I mean, that's where a lot of it is. On the Renegade Studios Facebook page, that's where we post a lot of the stuff.
So you have a website.
Yeah.
You have Instagram. You have Facebook page, and it's also on YouTube. So
yeah, it's all about the social media.
Yeah, that's right.
But like I said, the YouTube ad doesn't have a lot at the moment because there's no reason for it.
Yeah.
But the Facebook's really where it's at. You know, that's where the updates come, and it's kind of dead at the moment because there's nothing really to update at the moment. But very soon there'll be more updates. So. You know, that's where you need to go if you want to follow the story.
That's right. And if you know anybody with a lot of money who would like to invest in this, make sure you put them onto it and everything. So, man, thanks a lot.
And if you give me the money, then I'll give you a starring role.
That's right. Executive producer credit and all that
exactly,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Great to be here. Good luck, man. Thanks.